Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
I'm just going to pass it to you. All right. Love you, sir.
Thank you, Pastor David. I love your pastors, and it's a joy for me to be with you again this morning to share in the Word of God. And God's going to be doing miracles in this room this morning, and I'm number one in line for a miracle today. Just going to mention, I don't have a book on today's message because the Lord gave me a message just for us today, but I've got four books that dance around today's message, so I'm going to mention them. Fire of Delayed Answers, powerful message, The Chastening of the Lord, The Book of Job, Pain, Perplexity, and Promotion, and Opened from the Inside, Taking the Stronghold of Zion. Of all my books, these four get real close to the themes of today. And so I'm just mentioning those. We have a four-book special this morning that you can get four books for $30, and I'll throw in a free copy of Reset, 20 Ways to a Consistent Prayer Life. So, Pastor David, I'm going to give this set to you. You're welcome to check out the table on your way out today. I love the theme of this series. I believe in miracles. Love the song, love the theme. I believe in miracles too, because when you're looking through your Bible, every page is miracle after miracle after miracle. It's a supernatural book. And so when I heard the theme of this message, I asked a few friends. I said, when you're pursuing faith for miracles, what's one of your first go-to verses? And it just so happened, David, that the people I asked, all of them kind of had the same response of, I'd have to think about that. I've got some scriptures that I go to immediately when I'm wanting to pursue faith for miracles. One of my first ones is 2 Timothy 2:22, pursue faith. Paul said it to Timothy twice, but I always remember this one because of the 2 Timothy 2:22. My little brain can remember that. And so it's one of my go-to verses, pursue faith. Another one that I go to is the words of Jesus when he said, have faith in God. When Jesus said that, I don't think that he was slapping them and saying, hey, come on, you people, have faith in God. I think he was speaking a generative, creative word. The same lips that said, let there be light, and there was light. The very same mouth said, have faith in God. So when he says that to you, he is speaking a generative, life-giving, creative word to your spirit. He is actually speaking faith right into your spirit. So let him say it to you right now in the power of his creative voice. Have faith in God. Jesus, say it to me right now. Speak it to my spirit and impart faith into my heart by the power of your word. Another one I like is when he said, only believe. I want the Lord to speak that word to my life and kill off every weed of unbelief that wants to grow in my soul. Lord, just like a weed killer, just say it to my spirit. Only believe. so that there is room for no unbelief in any part of my garden. So those are some of the verses that I immediately go to when I want to go after faith for miracles. Faith has no timer on it. Faith doesn't say, okay, God, you've got till August 1st. And if you don't give me my miracle by August 1st, I'm going to plan B. Faith has no timer on it. It's got no deadline on it. Faith just believes God and stays in the zone until God brings the miracle. Now, we're going to see some miracles in this room today. The reason I say that is because Jesus is presiding at this meeting. Every meeting that Jesus officiated when he was on earth was a healing meeting. It was unthinkable that Jesus would hold a meeting and there be no miracles. Unthinkable. I think it should be equally unthinkable today that the church should gather with Jesus presiding and there be no miracles. In fact, let's just go ahead and just renew again our trust and our statement of faith in the Lord Jesus. Jesus, we say you are presiding at this meeting. You who stand among the lampstands, you are standing now. Among your churches, Dwell Church included, and we reference your leadership. Preside at this meeting today. And do miracles in Jesus' name. Performing miracles is effortless. I say that because Jesus honored the Sabbath. We know that he obeyed the law and he honored the Sabbath, which says you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. Jesus never worked on the Sabbath, and yet he healed all kinds of people on the Sabbath, which means doing miracles is effortless. It was effortless for Jesus, and it's to be effortless for us. It's so effortless that last Sunday, as we were gathered in the church where I was at last Sunday, an elderly sister raised her hand. No, I didn't know it, but the brother that came in put his hand on her shoulder. I found out it was her grandson. But this elderly woman raises her hand. She wants someone to pray for her. Her grandson sees it. He walks over. He just puts his hand on her shoulder. And she said, as soon as my grandson put his hand on my shoulder, I felt heat go through my shoulder. And she starts moving her rotator cuff like she couldn't move it before. All he did was put his hand on her shoulder. It's that effortless. That's all you gotta do. Now, Jesus never said to us, pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. That raises the bar, ladies and gentlemen. We're not called just to pray for sick people. We're called to heal them. And it's effortless. All you have to do is just lay your hands and just say, be healed in Jesus' name. And the power of God heals people. There's going to be miracles in the house today because Jesus is officiating at this meeting. And I'm declaring it. Now, somebody says, well, Bob, you're sure somebody to declare this. You're not even healed yet yourself. Yeah. you're right. I'm first in line for a miracle today. But I want to tell you something. I want everyone in this room to get this very clearly. You don't have to have your miracle yet before you minister a miracle to somebody else. And I'm going to give you a verse for it, okay? Paul is in Galatia. He's in a town called Lystra. He's preaching his message, and he notices someone that has been crippled from birth in the meeting. The guy's never walked. And he sees, Paul sees, the man has faith to be healed. So Paul, in the middle of his message, just stops and he says, stand up on your feet right now. And the guy stands up and leaps. He's healed on the spot. And when Jesus wrote a letter to that church, excuse me, when Paul wrote a letter to that church sometime later, Galatians 4:13, I think they're going to have it for our screen. Here's what Paul wrote to that church. He says, you know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. In my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So Paul goes, when I was in Lystra with y'all, I was there because of a physical infirmity. Now, we don't know what it was, but it was clear enough that everybody knew about it. They could tell in his body something's not right. And Paul's going, the reason I came to your city was because I was going to go there, but then this infirmity shut me down and I got stopped in Lystra. But while I'm preaching with an infirmity, the Holy Spirit used me to raise the guy right up in the middle of the meeting. So Paul himself is not yet healed, and he's ministering a miracle to the cripple in the middle of the meeting. So here's my point. You don't have to be healed yourself yet before you minister healing to somebody else. So you might have an issue in your body this morning. Don't let that stop you for a moment. Just go over to your neighbor, be the hand of Jesus Christ to them, lay your hand upon them, and heal them in Jesus' name. Faith is generational. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith Abraham, Isaac. Verse 20, by faith Isaac, Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob, Joseph. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, the children of Israel. And so faith is generational. Listen, every generation needs its own miracles. Not good enough that we had miracles back in the 1940s. I appreciate and I love what you said last week, Pastor David, the inheritance of Catherine Kuhlman and Oral Roberts and A.A. Allen and Jack Cohen, some of the greats of the faith back in the 40s and 50s that gave to David and me and our generation something not good enough in 2020. We need miracles now for this generation. I'm just going to make it a little bit personal for a moment. My mother, she passed away on Valentine's Day, 90 years old, passed away on Valentine's Day. God, Jesus came for his Valentine and took her. My mom, when she was 40 years old, I was 13 at the time of this story. My mom was 40, came down with, she felt a couple lumps in her left breast, and she had pain in her abdomen. Now, she never went to the doctor. There was never a biopsy done. So to this day, we cannot say it was cancer, but her health was plummeting, and she was in severe distress. And she, I watched my mom go after the word of God, go after faith and pursue the Lord in faith and healing, and God visited my parents March 17, 1970, in 2 days. It's going to be the 50-year anniversary of this moment. 50 years ago, on this coming Tuesday, God visited my parents in power and glory. My mom was healed of those tumors in one day. They were absolutely gone. And when she died at 90, there was not a cancerous cell in her body. Because when he heals you, he heals you. And that imprinted me as a 13-year-old. And here's what I took from it. If you will go deep in faith in the Holy Spirit in your time of crisis, God will meet with you and he will deliver you. And that testimony has empowered me in my journey for 28 years. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, Nicole. I have ownership of that story because it was my mom at age 13, but my children don't. It's their turn now. It's time for my children. Jesus, it's time for my children to see a miracle in our family. It's time for my grandchildren to see a miracle in our family. Thank you for that prayer this morning, my brother. Jesus is my healer, and he's giving a testimony to my family, and I'm contending for it today, and I'm in the front row today, in the front of this line, asking for a miracle, because Jesus, you are presiding at this meeting. We need miracles for this generation.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Jesus, give it to us today. Now, here's my message today. Get ready to steward your miracle. That's my message. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're asking for grace to be with us richly now in the Word of God. May our hearts burn within us. Jesus, move among the lampstands of your churches and do miracles today at Dwell Church and every church gathered in your name today. In Jesus' name we pray, give miracles to this generation. A miracle is a gift, an entrustment. When God gives you a miracle, there comes a stewardship with that miracle. You are now responsible to steward a miracle. And with that stewardship comes accountability. So when God gives you a miracle, get ready to steward it. It's not the end of your story. It's just the end of that chapter. That miracle will end that chapter and start you into a new chapter where now you are a steward of the miracle that God has given you. How are we supposed to steward a miracle? I want to put a picture in front of you to help you with the answer that I have today in the Holy Spirit. It's Proverbs 13, verse 12, which, by the way, I consider to be one of the most misunderstood scriptures in the whole body of Christ today. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. I have endured much heart sickness over 28 years. Hope for a miracle deferred now for 28 years. If you want to talk about heart sickness, let's have a conversation. I'll be glad to tell you about, or I can certainly connect with heart sickness. But here's the purpose of heart sickness. God designs heart sickness to drive us deep into the Holy Spirit so that we will put roots down in God in the heart sickness, so that when the desire comes, we have a root system in God that will support a tree of life. If you don't put roots down in your heart sickness, you get your miracle, but you get a spindly little tree that only feeds you. But God wants to give you a tree of life to feed a whole generation. But for your miracle to become a tree of life to feed a generation, you have to have a root system in God to support a tree of life. So in your heart sickness, grow some roots in God so that when the desire comes, you can steward the miracle and make it a tree of life for your generation. Job, I'm going to give you a miracle, but you're going to have to steward it. And the question is, what kind of a tree are you going to have at the end of this thing? Heart sickness. Now, Job understands heart sickness. Job, what are you going to do with your heart sickness? And Job says, I'm going to put roots down deep into the Holy Spirit and into my God. And because Job put down roots deep into God, when the desire came and he got his miracle, he had a root system in God, and the thing became a tree of life for the whole planet. Now, he's got the first book of the Bible. He has an inheritance for every generation. He changes human history because he put down roots in his heart sickness. He actually sees God, and the book is a tree of life today to everybody in this room. Abraham, I'm going to give you a miracle in 25 years. Now, in 25 years, I promise you, Abraham had some heart sickness. You can't defer a promise for 25 years without experiencing heart sickness, ladies and gentlemen. Heart sickness pushes Abraham to put down roots into the Holy Spirit, to press deep into faith. And when the desire is finally fulfilled 25 years later, Abraham has a root system in God. He is now able to steward the miracle. He gets a miracle baby. Isaac is a miracle baby. He gets the miracle, and he's able to steward it in the grace of God, so that now today, every one of us look to Abraham as the father of the faithful. Thanks be to God for the life of Abraham, who developed a root system during 25 years of heart sickness, and the story became a tree of life. Moses, I've got some miracles in store for you, but I'm going to plummet you into some heart sickness for 40 years. He's in the Midian desert for 40 years. You want to know heart sickness? Camp in the Midianite wilderness for 40 years. The guy's got a vision to deliver the nation, but now the whole thing is shut down. 40 years of heart sickness. What you gonna do with it, Moses? And he's like, I'm gonna go into the Holy Spirit. I'm gonna press my roots into God, so that by the time the answer is fulfilled, the desire is fulfilled, and he's leading the nation, his story becomes a tree of life. He is now leading the nation into miracle after miracle after miracle. Have you read about 10 plagues? Have you read about the parting of the Red Sea? And now miracles are happening all over in Moses' life, and he delivers the nation because in his heart sickness, he went deep into the heart of God. Hannah, I've got a miracle for you, sweetheart. I know that this barrenness has, you are absolutely overwhelmed with heart sickness. I get it. Yeah. What you gonna do with it, sweetheart? I'm going after God. I'm going to lift my cry. I'm going to press into the Holy Spirit. I'm going to go after my God. Because when that desire is fulfilled, you are now the steward of a miracle. What you going to do with your miracle, Hannah? And because she was prepared in the spirit, she was able to give her baby back to the Lord. Samuel now becomes a tree of life to the nation because in her heart sickness, she went after God. Yeah. David, I probably don't have to convince you that David had some heart sickness. Caves, wildernesses, cave of Adullam, running for his life, years. What, 7 years, 10 years? How long was it? We don't really know for sure the exact number, John, but for years. Heart sickness, because he's been anointed to be king of the nation. He's got this vision, this Holy Spirit anointing on his life. But now, everything seems to be against it. David, what are you going to do in these years of heart sickness? Because the miracle is coming, and the question is, what kind of a tree is it going to be? Is it going to be just a tree for you, or is it going to be a tree for a generation? David decides to go after God. Pressing into the Lord in his wilderness. That's what the Psalms are all about. A guy reaching and developing a root system of faith in God. And when the desire comes and he is made king of the nation, he leads the nation of Israel into miracle after miracle over this nation, miraculous victories, conquests in the Holy Spirit. And the Davidic throne became a tree of life to the people of Israel. Daniel, I've got a miracle for you, bro, but I'm going to put some heart sickness into you so that you'll put some roots down in God. Now, you say, what kind of heart sickness did Daniel know? Well, he is hauled off against his will to Babylon, and he is forcibly made a eunuch. Hello, guys. I put myself in Daniel's shoes. All my hopes and aspirations for life have been forcibly removed from me. And now I am against my will, a eunuch in a foreign land. I'm telling you, Daniel faced some heart sickness. What are you gonna do with your heart sickness, Daniel? He decides to go after his God. He decides to walk in integrity and in purity before God. And here comes the miracle. God gives a miracle dream to the king. It was a miracle, divine interruption. God downloads to the king a dream. It is such a powerful encounter with God that the king goes, I'm not even telling you what the dream is. You have to tell me the dream. This one was so strong. I know I got this from God. If you're from God, tell me the dream. Daniel goes to the Lord. He says, God, you got to help us on this one. We're in trouble. Second miracle, God gives Daniel the same dream. It's a miracle story. And now, because Daniel goes deep in the spirit, he's given a miracle that he's able to steward. And now Daniel saves all the wise men of Babylon. He gives us the book of Daniel. He's a prophetic machine. And the man has this powerful legacy that we celebrate today, a tree of life. Yeah. Joseph. Let's just go there. Joseph. How many people in the room think that Joseph experienced some heart sickness? when your brothers almost kill you and decide to sell you into slavery instead, and you find yourself a slave in Egypt, and then you find yourself a prisoner in Egypt, I'm telling you, this young man had some heart sickness in his life. Joseph, how are you going to handle your heart sickness? Because I got a miracle for you, bro. And when you get this miracle, what kind of a tree are we going to have? Are we going to have a tree that just feeds you? Or are we going to have a tree to feed a generation? Will your story become a tree of life? And in his heart sickness, he went after God. God gave him a miracle jailbreak. He's now got a miracle that he can steward, and he becomes a tree of life. He saves the entire nation of Egypt. He saves the entire family of Israel. He establishes them in the land of Goshen. The guy's life becomes a tree of life. So let's just talk about Joseph for a few moments this morning. When he was in Potiphar's house, he cultivated his gifts and his talents and everything God had given to him. He developed his management skills, his administration skills, his accounting skills, his leadership skills, his people skills, his creative brain power skills. He even cultivated his physique. The guy was buff. But when you're in prison, it doesn't matter what you have cultivated in Potiphar's house. All of your cultivated giftings are now useless in prison, because it doesn't matter how strong your managerial skills, they're not going to get you out of prison. It doesn't matter how strong your organizational skills, they're not going to get you out of prison. It doesn't matter how strong your money skills, they're not going to get you out of prison. It doesn't matter how strong your brain muscle is, it's not going to get you out of prison. I don't care how much charisma and personality charm and people skills you have, they're not going to get you out of prison. And Joseph finds himself in a prison where everything that he has cultivated and strengthened in his life is now useless, and he is reduced to soul grinding heart sickness in an Egyptian prison. What you gonna do with your heart sickness, Joseph? Because God's agenda is for you to put down roots in the Holy Spirit, develop a root system in your prison, so that when the desire comes, the thing becomes a tree of life. That's God's agenda. But he's in the prison and he's trying to figure the thing out. All he has is two dreams. But everything in his prison is contradicting his dreams. His dreams seem to suggest there's greatness on the way, but his prison is telling him, you're going to die in this place. And he's trying to figure out, what were those dreams about? And Joseph decided in his prison to put roots down in God and study his God language. God talked to Joseph in dreams. And Joseph's like, I'm going to study my God language. Okay, I'm going to study dream interpretation. What did those dreams mean? He went after his God language. Wow. Served him well. When the butler and the baker had a dream, he's now able to interpret their dreams. Then when Pharaoh has a dream, he's able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Joseph got out of prison, not because of his administrative, organizational, fiscal, accounting, people skills. He got out of prison because he put roots down deep in God, studied his God language, and was able to interpret the dream for the butler and the baker and for Pharaoh. Knowing his God language got him out of prison. What is your God language? How does God talk to you? Identify study it, put down roots in the Holy Spirit. Knowing your God language just might get you out of this prison. Psalm 105, verse 22. It's speaking about Joseph's prison. And here's what the Lord says about Joseph's prison. God's agenda was so that Joseph would be able to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. God's like, this is what I'm doing in you, Joseph. I'm gonna force you to put down roots in me so that by the time the answer's fulfilled, you will have authority to bind princes at your pleasure and teach your elders wisdom. So we know that when Joseph came out of prison, how many have read the story where he puts his brothers into the very prison that once held him? Have you read that part of the story? For 3 days, Joseph puts his brothers in that prison. He's like, let's just give you a little appetizer for 3 days. I did 10 years. Let's give you 3 days. And then Simeon gets a longer sentence. Joseph comes out of prison with authority to imprison people in that prison. Wow. When Joseph came out of prison, now Pastor David, I don't have a verse for this. Okay, so I call it a theory because I don't have a verse. Here's my theory. When Joseph came out of prison holding the keys to that prison, theory, I think he went back to that prison. You're coming out. You stood by me for 10 years in this prison. You actually don't deserve a bro, but you're coming out. You're my new prime minister. You're coming out. You'll be staying in. And when Joseph came out of prison, he came out with authority over the very prison that held him. If you will put roots down in the spirit in your heart sickness, you will come out of your prison with authority over the very prison that holds you. And now you will be a tree of life to your generation. What's the prison that has held you? Did you find yourself in a financial prison? By the time you come out of this thing, you will hold keys in the spirit if you put down roots. I said, if you put down roots. You will come through with authority in the spirit to help others that are in financial prisons. Did you find yourself in a prison of addiction? By the time you come out of this prison, if you put down roots, you will have authority. You will hold keys in your hand, and you will help to unlock others that are in prisons of addiction. Did you find yourself in a prison of physical infirmity? I'm going to preach to myself right now. If you will put down roots, God intends for you to put down roots in your affliction, in your heart sickness, so that when the desire comes, you will hold in your hand the keys to the prison that once held you, so that now you have authority in the spirit to release others that are bound in prisons of affliction. Never relent until you hold in your hand the keys to the prison that now holds you. I'm putting down roots in the Holy Spirit so that when the desire comes, it becomes a tree of life to a generation. Does anybody in the room need a miracle? Well, aren't you lucky? Because if you need a miracle, that means, you know, the Bible says that we need trials. 1 Peter 1:6. We actually need trials. Because if you didn't have any trials, you wouldn't have any heart sickness. You wouldn't have anything pushing you, causing you to put down roots in the Holy Spirit. If you have no need, if you have no trial, you become a slug. A fat, lazy slug of a Christian. God's like, yo, you need this trial, sweetheart. You need this prison. You need this heart sickness. It's going to force you to put down roots in me. If you will harness the heart sickness, put roots into the Holy Spirit, when the desire comes, it will be a tree of life to a generation. I'm sure glad you need a miracle today. You're putting down roots in God. You're pursuing faith. Have faith in God. Yeah. Only believe. Here's the last one, Zacharias. You've been like, Bob, are you trying to illustrate that almost every single person in the Bible had to put down roots in their heart sickness so that the thing could become a tree of life? Is that the point you're trying to make today, Pastor Bob? Yes, ma'am. Zacharias. Zacharias was a man who knew some heart sickness. He was childless. His wife was barren. He was a priest. They had been faithful, blameless all their lives, but now they're elderly. And the heart sickness has gotten them pretty crusty. He's a priest in the temple burning incense, and the angel Gabriel comes to Zacharias in his elderly years and says to him, Luke 1:13, do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. I want you to notice in our scripture that Gabriel says to Zacharias, your prayer is heard. Singular. He did not say to Zacharias, your prayers are heard. He said, singular, your prayer is heard. Because when you're barren, you only have one prayer. It becomes a life-dominating prayer. Call it an LDP, life-dominating prayer. When God reduces you to an LDP, a life-dominating prayer, there's only one thing on your prayer list. This is all I want. This is all you're going to hear from me. Every time I come to heaven, I'm just knocking on the door. I've got one thing to ask for every day, morning, noon, night. I want a baby. I just want a baby. Give me a baby. When God gives you a life-dominating prayer, I think he's got a story he's going to write in your life, because you will never let heaven be at rest until heaven hears your life-dominating prayer. And your prayer is heard, Zacharias, and your wife is going to bear you a son. Now, the angel comes to Zacharias in his elderly years. I'm going to guess that by the time this story happens, he's probably stopped asking. Because there comes a point in time when your wife gets so old and you're so old that, you know what? I prayed that prayer for 50 years. He's probably stopped asking. And he's crusty with heart sickness. Just crushed by heart sickness. Verse 18. Luke 1:18. We're going to continue the story. And Zacharias said to the angel, how shall I know that I'm going to have a miracle baby? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years. And the angel answered and said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and to bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Zacharias is so crusty with heart sickness that when Gabriel himself comes to him, it's not enough to break through his crusty spirit. He just can't get it. I heard a story one time from Bob Jones. I don't know if anybody's ever tracked with Bob Jones' ministry, but Bob Jones tells the story of Gabriel coming to him personally, and he said, "The persona of Gabriel is just overwhelming. The power and the presence of the angel Gabriel." Wow. That was Bob Jones' testimony. Gabriel comes to Zacharias. Zacharias is so crusty with heart sickness that he's like, "How can I even know this is going to happen?" And Gabriel's like, "Zacharias, you're a piece of work. We're about to give you a miracle, and we need you to steward this miracle. We got to go to work on you, man." And so Zacharias is struck mute, not as punishment for unbelief. He's struck mute so that he will put down roots in his heart sickness so that the thing can become a tree of life. And in 10 months of muteness, now I can testify how you hit a guy in his voice, I will testify that thing will push you into God. 10 months later, Zacharias comes out of that thing when God heals his voice and he now speaks again. Look at the verses of what this guy turns into, a prophesying machine gun. Like, how do you compare the Zacharias that can't even consider anything to now the Zacharias that is prophesying and he's speaking over his son? You're going to be, what's the verse? It's Luke 1:76. Luke 1 verse 76, "You child will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." The guy is speaking identity and destiny over his miracle. Zacharias, where did you come from? What happened to you in the last 10 months? And Zacharias is going, "Well, you know, that Gabriel talked to me." When you look at the story, Gabriel said more Zacharias than we have in our Bible. All we have in our Bible is a couple verses, but he was delayed in the temple so that everybody's going, "Why is he taking so long?" There was a conversation going on. Zacharias is the Gabriel angel, the angel Gabriel is downloading to Zacharias for however many minutes. And Zacharias has 10 months to go deep on it. Wow. And because he put down roots in the Spirit and went into the word that was spoken over his life and pressed into God, when the miracle came and he got his miracle baby, it now becomes a tree of life for an entire world. He is prophesying destiny and identity over John the Baptist. And now we have a father to raise up a John the Baptist for this generation. Thank you, Zacharias, for harnessing your heart sickness, putting roots in the Spirit so that it can become a tree of life to a generation. This is how you steward your miracle. You harness the heart sickness, put roots into God, and when the desire comes, your miracle will be a tree of life to Dallas, Texas, to the state of Texas, to the United States of America, to an entire generation, because you put down roots in the heart sickness and it became a tree of life. So Jesus is going to do some miracles in the house this morning. We're getting ready to pray for that and to believe for that right now. Jesus made miracles a justice issue. I just want to throw this in this morning. When Jesus healed the woman on the Sabbath day, he said this, Luke 13, verse 16, he said, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham," in other words, she was a woman of faith, "ought not this woman whom Satan has bound for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" Jesus made her healing a justice issue because ought not, that's justice language. It's only right. It ought to be so. Where is a better time than on the Sabbath to loose a captive, a woman of faith bound by Satan for 18 years? What better place than on the Sabbath? It ought to happen. Jesus is saying, when God's people gather together, now our Sabbath, we make it the Lord's Day on Sunday. We're gathered here in his name on your resurrection day, you're presiding the meeting. Ought not those that are bound by Satan be loosed in this meeting this morning? It is a justice issue. It ought to happen when Jesus is presiding at the meeting. Captives ought to be loosed from their infirmities. So we're going to pray this morning. Well, actually, we're not going to just pray. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. So let's not just pray for the sick this morning, okay? Let's heal the sick today. If you need a miracle and you would like someone to pray with you this morning, we're going to turn the whole room into a miracle zone right now. And here's what I want to invite you to do. If you would like someone to pray for you, now, they are going to do nothing except just put their hand on you. They're just going to touch some cloth. We're not going to touch skin today. We're going to honor President Trump. We're not going to touch skin. We're just going to touch cloth, so a shoulder or an elbow. But we're not going to, you know, we're not going to do any of this. We're not going to get intense. We're not going to do anything like this. We're just going to touch you and say, "Be healed in Jesus' name." Effortlessly on the Lord's Day, doing miracles because Jesus is in the house. So if you would like someone to effortlessly place their hand upon you and heal you this morning, raise your hand and someone will come over. Raise your hand and okay, so now just look around the room. Look for someone with their hand raised. Get it up and keep it up until someone comes and lays their hand on you. Find someone with their hand raised. Go over and heal them now. And just say, "Be healed in Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit." Pastor David, the meeting is yours. You can worship. You can do whatever you want to. I give the meeting to you. My hand is raised. I want someone to come and heal me too. Just obey the Holy Spirit. You are the hand of Christ. Miracles are happening in this room in Jesus' name. Yeah, come on. In Jesus' name. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Healed in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.